بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا واعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. بسم الله ما شاء الله لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. الحمد لله, الله تعالى has given us a chance once again to learn of the beautiful lives of the Anbiya عليهم السلام, and may this be a learning where we take the lessons and in which we draw closer to Allah Ta'ala, not just to listen, but rather to see how we can gain this close proximity to Allah Ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, previously we had started the discussion on the beautiful life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And we had mentioned many aspects thus far, how Ibrahim alayhi salam started to preach the message of Tawheed to his father firstly, then to his community, then to what we'll say the celestial worshippers of the stars, the moon, the sun. And he tried this year with such hikmat, such wisdom, such patience, such intelligence. Allah Ta'ala had blessed Ibrahim alayhi salam with this insight of knowledge and speech. And thereafter we see Ibrahim alayhi salam came to that aspect of where he came to the king Namrud, and he started to give him the da'wat regarding the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, the message of Allah Ta'ala. And even in that too, in that conversation, many aspects we've learned, many points came to light with regards to debating, towards having a conversation with someone who does not have the intellect level as you, or someone who you can see you are going to waste your time with, and what the step should be. So Alhamdulillah, we have reached that point. Now, all the people of the town, the king, they all had this hatred and this animosity towards Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they wanted to get rid of him. Eventually the king, the people, they decided that, you know, we need to teach this boy a lesson. We need to teach Ibrahim a lesson. Why? Because he insulted our gods. And even now he came and insulted the king. So this is something that no one must think they can do in future. And such a punishment we need to give to him that everyone will remember it because of the level of the punishment, the might that we will display. So we need to do something. So what they said, they thought of ideas. What can we do to avenge our gods, their dignity, their pride? What can we do to show them that you do not mess with our gods? So they finally decided, قالوا حرقوا وانصروا آلهتكم إن كنتم فاعلين. They said, burn him, and help your gods. If you'll ever want to do anything, then do this here. Help your gods by burning him. So the entire community, everyone, they got together, and they gathered the firewood, even their own furniture and everything, whatever they could put in the fire. And they even took oaths, or they took pledges, that if I was to get better, if someone was sick, then I will take this here and I'll go put it in the fire. Or they'll put it with the hope that by burning these objects within the fire, helping their gods, then they'll get shifa, they'll get cure, they'll get goodness in their lives. Many, many wrong beliefs. Many, many things. Sometimes a person takes a mannat, they'll say, I'm taking a wish and oath by certain pious person's name, and I'm doing this fast for certain person. But nothing can help. Only Allah. Only Allah. So they all did this here, and they burnt this fire. And this fire was such a huge fire. It was the talk of the town, talk of everywhere. For so many days on end, this fire was kindled. It was prepared. Such a large fire explained that those birds that used to fly over the fire up high, they even felt the heat, and they even used to get burnt and roasted and will come down to the ground. How tremendous this heat of this fire was. And when the time finally came now for them to throw Ibrahim alayhi salam, to put him into the fire, they've realized, you know what? We've made such a powerful fire that we can't even go close to throw him into the fire. Now they were in a problem. They got the punishment ready, but there's no way of meting it out to him because no one could go close to it. Until a person came with the idea that, you know what? Let us make a catapult. Right, we launch him into the fire. From far we can do this. So this was a very, very genius idea, and everyone went ahead with it. So they built this catapult, right? And they put Ibrahim alayhi salam on it, and they flung him into the fire. They tied him with the ropes, so he couldn't move, he couldn't do anything. And look at Ibrahim alayhi salam. Trust in Allah, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Trusting Allah completely. Not afraid, not worried. My Allah is there. So when you're looking at various tafsirs of Quran under this incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam, you will find Ibrahim alayhi salam, they finally had him prepared and they flung him. And as he is going into the fire, the angel Jibreel alayhi salam came and said, "Oh Ibrahim, we are here to help you. Can we help you?" And Ibrahim alayhi salam, the famous answer, "Did Allah send you? Did Allah send you?" He said, "No, but we are here, we are angels, we are here to help you. We help the Anbiya." In our language, we are explaining it. And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "No, Allah is sufficient. Hasbunallah. Allah is sufficient. Allah is sufficient. I don't need your help." But before we move on, imagine this. You are in the crisis of your life, and someone is coming to offer you help who you know can take you out of that difficulty, who you know will be able to grant you ease and respite. But still, your trust is on one who you know you want the help from. "I want the help from someone." You are hungry. Someone says, "There's food for you." You say, "No, no, no, no. I know my food will come. I know it will come." You are on the verge of starving, and someone is giving you a drink of water. You say, "No, I don't want it from you. I got trust in another person who will bring it for me. And I know you will never let me down." So Ibrahim alayhi salam completely trusted in Allah. And as he was going into that fire, the famous beautiful verse of Quran, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. We said to that fire, become cool and peaceful for Ibrahim alayhi salam. Become cool and peaceful. So beautiful, the Quran, every single word in Quran is for a reason. Nothing, not one letter can be there for no reason. Everything got its meaning and its benefit for you and I till the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala said, "O fire, become cool." But we know also that when you have an extreme level of cold, then that's also discomfort, that's also problematic. When you get a very hot day and a very cold day, both are problematic. That's why in Jannah, it said that that weather of Jannah, the time of Jannah, will be like how between Asr and Maghrib. So peaceful that time is, so cool, so relaxing, not hot, not cold, just beautiful. So extreme cold, that's why in Jahannam also, one is we know the extreme heat of Jahannam. There's also a place within Jahannam known as Zamharir. Zamharir. And this is the cold part of Jahannam. Because one is a person gives punishment with heat, and also severe cold is a punishment as well. Jahannam got this area within it that is completely frozen, complete coldness that a person will be suffering there. Allah Ta'ala save us all. Allah Ta'ala grant us Jannah. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was going into this fire and Allah Ta'ala says, become cool. Together with becoming cool, Allah Ta'ala says, become peaceful. Wassalama. Become cool and peaceful. So now you're perfect. You know, sometimes we've got the aircon, and you put that aircon on 16 or on the lowest possible degree, and then people start freezing. Say, you know, make it warm again. But now you hit that perfect level, 23, 24, where you're not feeling hot, you're not feeling cool, you're just feeling comfortable. And that's what sometimes we look for on the hot day, that perfect temperature. So Allah Ta'ala made this fire cool, but not just cool, but peaceful. That such luxury, such a garden Ibrahim alayhi salam was in. Now imagine, Jibreel alayhi salam came with that help. Had Ibrahim alayhi salam taken it, then this miracle of this fire would not have been known. We would have never come across it. You understand? But by him having complete trust in Allah, complete trust, and this is the message of Ibrahim alayhi salam's entire life, complete submission to the command, complete trust in Allah alone, that every command of Allah was fulfilled with the complete trust in Allah Ta'ala. Had he taken that help, then this miracle of this fire, this beautiful experience that one will never even ponder or logically understand, that within a fire that normally burns, normally incinerates, normally takes down completely, yeah, Ibrahim alayhi salam had the best time of his life in this fire. So having complete trust in Allah, Allah will make miracles happen. Allah will make the world come subservient to us. But we have to trust in Allah as He ought to be trusted. Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah. Everything in the power, in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. Nothing can be done without Him. That fire that normally burns, even today you go light the fire, is going to burn you. But Allah is teaching us, Allah gives the quality to everything. One is a fire, but the quality of a fire to burn is even in the power of Allah. So doesn't mean that you got a fire there, it's going to burn, but Allah puts the quality of burning. We have a cup of water and we drink that water, and sometimes we tell ourselves, I'm not getting quenched. My thirst is not getting satisfied. Now we realize that Allah is the one that puts that quality in that water to satiate our thirst. Only Allah. Sometimes you'll drink 1 liter, half a liter, I'm still thirsty. And sometimes you're so thirsty, you say, I can drink this whole cool drink, this whole bottle now. And after 1 or 2 sips, I'm filled, I'm happy, I'm content. This is Allah teaching us that lesson, that Allah is in complete control. So as we said, the stories of the Anbiya alayhimus salam, but together with our current day context of lessons we need to bring into our life. So Ibrahim alayhi salam landed in that fire. And to show the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, it mentioned that the rope that was tied around Ibrahim alayhi salam, because one is, imagine, you are in that fire, you are happy, content, having a good time, but you're tied up still. That fire burnt the rope, but it never burned Ibrahim alayhi salam. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. That be cool, be peaceful for Ibrahim. Sometimes you'll find people in difficulty together, in a difficult situation, all faced with it together. No lights, no water, or many people got the same sickness. But that one person, he will be happy. He'll find happiness in it, and the rest will be suffering. Because Allah chooses who Allah wants to find that happiness. So everything else was burning in that fire. But Ibrahim alayhi salam never burned. Allah said, for you, O Ibrahim, this fire will not burn. And now, after a couple of days, Ibrahim alayhi salam emerged from that fire, untouched. Nothing happened to him. Completely perfect. And can we imagine the people witnessing this? That they can feel the heat of the fire. They know that fire. But they see Ibrahim alayhi salam come unharmed. In today, modern day time, you'll see firefighters, they got fire repellent or fire worthy clothing where they can go into that fire, and they obviously that heat of the fire is felt, but that burning effect is not felt on the clothes. But they only can't stay for too long because that heat is still felt. You understand? Yeah, that fire heat, the effect of the burn, everything wasn't felt by Ibrahim alayhi salam. The power of Allah, the power of Allah. Trust in Allah. So Ibrahim alayhi salam comes out now. He's out of that fire. People witnessed this here. And now, being stubborn, when you don't want to accept the truth, even if it happens in front of your eyes, you'll still be arrogant towards it. You don't want to. Ibrahim alayhi salam emerged, and now realizing that these people, my people, they tried to burn me, tried to kill me. I need to move away now. Now it's time I will go somewhere else. Now it's time that I will migrate. I will leave this land of mine, Babylon, and I will go out. From that message of Ibrahim alayhi salam, so many heard it. But only 2 people accepted the message of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What a great Nabi. What a great trial. How much of intellect and wisdom. Only 2 people. Sometimes we see ulama, great ulama, giving bayans. But what a small gathering around them. That doesn't take their greatness away. That doesn't remove their piety. But rather it's our loss that we're not going for that program. We are not there. In the eyes of Allah, they are successful. But we are the losers. Because we never go to spend time with the men of Allah. In the time of the company of the pious. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, only his wife Hazrat Sarah radiallahu anha and his nephew Hazrat Lut alayhi salam, only these two people accepted his message and no one else. The rest of them was still wanting to kill him, still wanted to do nothing with him. So after he emerged from the fire now, unharmed, nothing done to him, he made the dua. He said, "Oh Allah, I'm going to my Rabb. He will soon guide me." Moving away from this land, and he left with Hazrat Sarah radiallahu anha and his nephew Lut alayhi salam, and they started their migration. They went through all the regions of Babylon, traveling, and as he went along trying to give this dawah to the people, until eventually they reached the land of Palestine, of Bayt al-Maqdis. They reached there, and this is where he settled. This is where Ibrahim alayhi salam had settled with Sarah radiallahu anha and with his nephew Lut alayhi salam. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, he immigrated with his wife Hazrat Ruqayyah radiallahu anha, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when they moved from Mecca to Abyssinia, what we'll say the first hijrah, that when they were looking at the time for a land that is conducive for Islam, and they went to Abyssinia, and it's a lengthy incident, we're not going into it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that definitely, verily, Uthman radiallahu anhu is the first to immigrate with his wife after Ibrahim alayhi salam. What a great noble task this was. So they went and they settled in Palestine and they lived there for some time. There's another incident where now Ibrahim alayhi salam, many, many different reasons are given for the reason of going to Palestine, to Egypt now. Ibrahim alayhi salam went with his wife Sarah radiallahu anha to Egypt. So I mentioned the time of drought. I mentioned, there was this going along on the route. This was to Palestine itself. Whatever it is, Allah Ta'ala knows best. But this incident is mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim, where Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sarah radiallahu anha, they were traveling to Egypt. And now at that time, Egypt had a very tyrannical king, a very oppressive king. And he had this habit that whenever a beautiful woman was in the vicinity of his lands, then he will take that woman in, he will capture that woman. And if that woman was married, was with her husband, then this king will kill the husband and take the woman. But if she was with her brother or her father, then he'll let them go free, he'll tell them go away, and he'll take the woman. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, understanding the context, understanding what is happening, Ibrahim alayhi salam mentioned to Sarah radiallahu anha that, you see, we two are the ones who are worshipping Allah. We are brothers and sisters in Islam. There's no one else on the surface of the earth that is remembering Allah Ta'ala. So we are brothers in Islam. I am your brother, you are my sister in Islam. We are brothers. So he says, if this king was to stop us or we were to get stopped, then we will say, I am your brother. Right? So Allah Ta'ala planned it such, and this is what we'll see many a times, where Allah Ta'ala can make it the best and the most easiest for the Anbiya alayhi salam, because they are the beloved of Allah. But Allah makes them go through the most difficulty to show us that if you want Allah, then you have to prove that love of Allah. You have to prove your love. And the closer someone is to you, then the more difficult the challenge you give them. That student in the school or in your madrasa, you're not giving him the hardest examples and hardest questions because you hate him. You're giving it to him because you understand that he got the potential to get it right. And with this, he will far surpass the others. So likewise, we'll find many a times in the stories of the Anbiya alayhi salam, where Allah Ta'ala could have protected Ibrahim alayhi salam, could have made him take such a route that the king, the security forces, all of them wouldn't have even spotted them. But Allah Ta'ala made it such that you will get spotted, to display the power of Allah. And in everything, when our trust is in Allah, then we will see that miracles occur. So the king stopped them, and he captured Sarah radiallahu anha, and he took her away. Ibrahim alayhi salam was left there, and he spent his time in dua, completely turning to Allah. One is, we'll say, try and make a plan, talk to the people, see what you can do to overcome the forces to go and rescue Sarah radiallahu anha. Sarah radiallahu anha herself also try and maybe escape, find a way to escape. But the men of Allah, the women of Allah, their minds are only on Allah. Only on Allah. Allah, you will take us out. Allah, you will rescue us. So Ibrahim alayhi salam busy in dua, begging Allah Ta'ala. Sarah radiallahu anha in her heart, making the dua to Allah Ta'ala whilst in this environment captured by the king. Now the king, he had her in his room and his intents were evil. He approached Sarah radiallahu anha and he stretched his hand out towards her. And when his hand was stretched, it became instantly paralyzed. It became instantly paralyzed. And the king was surprised. First time ever this has happened to him. And when he noticed this is not just nothing normal, this is something strange, he said to Sarah radiallahu anha, pray to your Rabb that my hands heal, that my hands get released. I'll leave you alone. I'll let you go free. Sarah radiallahu anha prayed to Allah, oh Allah, release him, free him. And his hand became normal again. Now being an arrogant, powerful king, what did he say? No man, it was just something that happened to me. It was just something strange. My body just froze. Second time, again, he put his hand forward. And the same thing happened. Got paralyzed. And again, he asked for the same. And Sarah radiallahu anhu made the dua. And he was freed. Still, not realizing that, you know what? This is something extraordinary. Thinking, no man, I can do this still. On a third time again, he raised his hand and his hand got paralyzed. And again he asked Sarah to make the dua. And on this third time, the king finally had some senses. He realized, you know what? This is now, I can't risk it again. Perhaps if I try again and my hand will get paralyzed and it will never get freed again. So he made some excuse. Because now you're a king, you can't have some disgrace come to your way. So he says, get out of here. Go out of here. And he started screaming out loud. This woman is bewitched. This woman got the jinn, the devils with her. That she is evil. Get her out of my company. Just to cover his own self. And now he's still fearful, realizing what happened in front of his eyes. Just so to say, to cover up everything. He'll say, give her a gift also. Give her a gift. Give her this gift. And what gift he gave her? He gave her Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha. Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha, he said, take her and go. This is a gift for you. Out of hope that when she goes away, now even if she's not there, if she makes dua to her Rabb, that you know what, this king that did this to me, now you're paralyzing completely. I'm not there for anything for me to worry about. So he was scared. Let me give her this gift. Let me give her this gift so when she goes, maybe she won't do anything for me bad. And Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha came into the ownership and the company of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Hazrat Sarah radiallahu anha. She went and she reunited with Ibrahim alayhi salam and they went back to their lands. Now very important to note here, when you look at the various traditions and the various narrations, when you look at who was Hajar radiallahu anha, it can be seen that the most common and most accepted understanding is that she was the daughter of the king. She was the daughter of the king. She was the princess. She wasn't a slave girl. Many a times we come across and we'll say, a slave girl. No. The only reason why Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha is referred to as a slave in some narrations is that the king handed his daughter over to them so that she may serve them. And why did he do this here? Because he understood that these are powerful people. That these are pious people. These are pious people. In fact, the narration of Bukhari Sharif describing this incident refers to Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha as the daughter who could serve best. That I experienced what I experienced. And I want my own daughter, who is a princess, to be in these people's company, to be at their service, so perhaps she can benefit from their company. Imagine, this is the plan, the mighty scheme of Allah Ta'ala. We'll never understand it. We'll say, why Allah made Ibrahim alayhi salam get caught here? So Allah could bless them with this gift from the king. And as we'll soon find out, that how from this woman, from Hajar radiallahu anha, they were blessed with the son from here. And inshallah, we'll come there soon. So they went back to their lands, and they stayed in Palestine, and they continued there. Just before we go into this incident of being blessed with a son, which you know is Ismail alayhi salam, just another incident in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where it falls into, where about, we're not too sure, but the Quran mentions it, and it's because it comes in Quran, then we should also mention it and understand it. Because if we do not understand it, and if we do not mention it, it will not be such that a time comes where someone tells us about it. And because logically to our brains it doesn't make sense, then we deny it. But Quran clearly mentions this here. Remember we mentioned regarding where Ibrahim alayhi salam debated with Namrud. Within the same next page, the bottom of that page, the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam comes, where Ibrahim alayhi salam once inquired from Allah Ta'ala about the manner in which Allah Ta'ala will raise the dead. That how do you bring life back to the dead? Now this question wasn't a question because Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't have conviction. No. But rather, it's because how a person is curious. Person wants to know that, I understand, I totally believe it, but I just want to see it. I totally believe it. Even if I don't see it, it's not going to affect my iman. It's not going to affect my belief, my trust in you. But I would like to, if it's possible, I would like to see it. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. Remember the time when Ibrahim alayhi salam said, oh my Rabb, show me how you give life to the dead. And Allah Ta'ala replied, قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ. Allah Ta'ala asked, do you not believe that I have the power to do this? قَالَ بَلَىٰ وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he replied, definitely, no, definitely, certainly I do believe. But I'm asking just to satisfy my heart so that I have first-hand knowledge, so that my iman can be strengthened even further. There's no room for doubt. So then when I'm preaching to everyone else, I have no room for this doubt within my heart. You see, our hearts is such that we cannot control it. It's in the control of Allah. We have to make dua that Allah, you guide our hearts. And in Islam, under the ilm, we'll say there are different levels of ilm. Different levels of ilm. So Ibrahim alayhi salam wished to find out the reality of each thing to understand it. So how it was connected with Allah Ta'ala. And under the levels of ilm, one is called ilmul yaqeen. Ilmul yaqeen. Another is called haqqul yaqeen. Right? Another is called aynul yaqeen. So how do we understand this? Very simply put, if a person, he merely attains the knowledge of something, this is called ilmul yaqeen. I just have the knowledge of it. It's called ilmul yaqeen. He has conviction in his knowledge. However, if he gets to see it or touch it or smell it, etc., then it is called aynul yaqeen. Aynul yaqeen. With his own eyes, with his own senses, he witnesses and he experiences it. And when he is thoroughly acquainted, when he truly understands all the intricacies of the subject, now it's called haqqul yaqeen. Haqqul yaqeen, the three levels. For example, people hear of Zamzam. Zamzam water from others and from the books. They read about it, they do some research. So at this level, because of people telling them and the level that they read about, this is known as ilmul yaqeen. Right? Because they have knowledge of it. Now when a person goes to Makkah Mukarramah and actually sees the Zamzam well, sees the water of Zamzam, now he has developed aynul yaqeen, that I've seen it for myself, I've witnessed it for myself. Eventually when he drinks it and now he enjoys it, he develops haqqul yaqeen, that definitely, undoubtedly, this is true. So different levels of what we'll say ilm, which a person, and conviction a person reaches, right? So he therefore, you know, he requested Allah Ta'ala to show him how Allah Ta'ala revived the dead. And Allah Ta'ala now told Ibrahim alayhi salam that, oh Ibrahim, take a few birds, cut them into pieces, and place their body parts on a nearby mountain, and then stand a little distance away. So Ibrahim alayhi salam cut up the birds, and on different mountains he placed different parts of different birds there, the head, the feet, the wings. And it all was scattered all over the mountains. And then Allah Ta'ala told him, call out to the birds. Call out. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam did as he was commanded. He called to the birds. As soon as he called, all the various parts, the organs, of the different birds that was placed, they all assembled together, they all rejoined, they all reassembled, and they came running to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Quran, so beautifully, Quran uses the word running. One will think a bird will fly towards. But Quran says it came running to Ibrahim alayhi salam. That when something is coming running towards you, you can see it all the times within your focus, within your range. But if it flies at times, now it might go out of scene. So Allah Ta'ala displayed to Ibrahim alayhi salam regarding this power of Allah, that the heart of Ibrahim alayhi salam was settled, even though he already believed and trusted in Allah. But this is a story, an incident that is mentioned in the Quran. And I think it is worth mentioning within these two. One is where Ibrahim alayhi salam discussed, where the story of Namrud is discussed. Then we'll see we skipped the middle portion and we came to the last portion of that page where Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Allah Ta'ala to see the dead. In between, another story of how Allah revives the dead is mentioned. I think it's very applicable with our current day time, inshallah, even though it doesn't fall part of the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But just by the way, for us to mention it very quickly, because it's within the verses that surrounds Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala mentions of the incident of many who mentions it to be of Uzair alayhi salam. Uzair alayhi salam, right? Uzair alayhi salam once passed by a town that was in utter ruins. Allah Ta'ala says, "O kalladhi marra ala qaryati wa hiya khawiyatun ala urushiha." That did you not see the like of him, that is Uzair alayhi salam, when he passed by a locality which is known as Baytul Maqdis, right, that was overturned, it was raised to the ground, completely ruined. قَالَ أَنَّ يُحْيِي هَذِهِ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. And he said, how will Allah bring life to this land after it has been so destroyed? And the reason why I said let's mention this is because in our current day circumstance, we are looking at Palestine, we are looking at Syria, we are looking at all these places that if you have to look at it, you'll think it's impossible that one was a colorful, vibrant city, so well looked after, now totally ruined. Totally, we say carpet bombed, everything destroyed. You'll think to yourself, how can ever life come back to this land? How can it ever become a busy city again? And that's many of our thoughts at the moment. We're looking at these places. Our answer is here. Our answers, stories of the Anbiya alayhi salams, ayats of Quran got all our answers. Allah Ta'ala, فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ مِئَةَ عَامٍ ثُمَّ بَعْثَ. Allah Ta'ala caused Uzair alayhi salam to pass away, to go into his sleep. He caused this death, this temporary death to Uzair alayhi salam. For 100 years, Uzair alayhi salam, he was sleeping. He went out unconscious. Right? And after 100 years, Allah Ta'ala revived Uzair alayhi salam, brought him back. And when Allah brought him back, Allah asked him, how long had you remained in the state of death? How long do you think you were sleeping for? And Uzair alayhi salam, he said, maybe for one day or a part of the day. Maybe for one day or a part of the day. Sounds similar to the Ashabul Kahf. And why did Uzair alayhi salam give such an answer? Mufassirin explained that because he looked at the time of the day, he knew what time it was when he fell asleep according to him. And now he's looking, oh, the sun is a little bit more down. So maybe he thought, maybe not even one day, less than a day I was sleeping. But for 100 years, Uzair alayhi salam was asleep. And when he was awakened, he found next to him that he had his donkey there. He had his food there. Right? And Allah Ta'ala says, قَالَ بَلْ لَبِسْتَ مِئَةَ عَامٍ فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِكَ وَشَرَابِكَ لَمْ يَتَسَنَّ. Allah Ta'ala said, now look at your food, look at your drink, which have not rotted. They also perfectly, perfectly well kept, perfectly preserved. Allah Ta'ala said, but now look at your donkey. Look at your donkey that you had. And this donkey of his, it was decomposed, bones totally gone. And Allah Ta'ala said, now look at the bones, how we have arranged them and we will cover them with flesh again. Allah Ta'ala brought this donkey back to life again. And very similarly, Uzair alayhi salam, when he awoken and he saw in front of him, that city came back to life again. The city came back to life again. This is Examples Allah has given us in the Quran, incidents Allah has given us in the Quran to show us of life after death is a reality. When we look around us and we think, how can anything come back again? How can Palestine come back to its glory days? How can Syria come back? How can these lands of what we say North Africa, where we so much drought and everything? Trust in Allah. Allah is in control. Allah who gave it life once, Allah will give it life again. And we'll see in our country now, we are in spring. We are going into these seasons where winter is over. Those trees around us had no leaves. Those trees around us had no fruits, totally barren. And now Allah is showing us with just a change of the weather, change of the season, how those leaves have come back, how that grass is green again. These are the lessons Allah is showing for our eyes. But nevertheless, that was just us taking a different route for a moment. Now coming back to the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and continuing from here. So Ibrahim alayhi salam had his wife Hazrat Sarah radiallahu anha, and he had taken Hazrat Sarah radiallahu anha has given Hazrat Hajj radiallahu anha as the gift to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he had taken her as a wife also. He has taken her as a wife also. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam was very old in his life now. He reached the very latter part of his life, and he still did not have any children. From Hazrat Sarah radiallahu anha, he didn't have any children. So it was hope that from Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha, perhaps she will conceive and he'll be blessed with a child. And this is exactly what had happened. Imagine that incident which we said, why didn't Allah just save them and keep them safe through Egypt and take them out? Had Allah done that, we would not have found Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha. And from this blessed marriage, the son Ismail alayhi salam would not have been born. So the plan of Allah we'll never question, and we should never question. We'll just trust it, understanding that there's divine wisdom behind it. Allah Ta'ala, what we'll say, 80 plus, 90 plus age of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala now blessed him with Ismail alayhi salam. Such a late portion of his life blessed with a son from Hajar radiallahu anha. And now being blessed with a son, you know, a person that doesn't have children, how they wish for a child, and especially the first child, a person truly look after, very worried about it, any small cough, any small sneeze, taking to the doctor, phoning up, buying the best. And then you ask them after the third, fourth child comes, then he's like, no, just leave the child, it's fine, don't worry. That first child is always the one that gets the most attention, because the first time the parents are experiencing a child and they are worried, it's a new experience for them. So Allah Ta'ala blessed him with this child, Ismail alayhi salam. And together with this now, the test of Ibrahim alayhi salam continues. Allah Ta'ala had instructed Ibrahim alayhi salam, now Ibrahim, you will take your wife, Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha, and your newborn son, who was still suckling, and you will leave. You will migrate. To where? Unknown. Allah didn't tell him the destination. All Allah Ta'ala told him, you will migrate, you will go, you will leave. And being the Nabi of Allah, being the friend of Allah Ta'ala, same time Ibrahim alayhi salam got ready and they left. They had some water, what we'll say, their water bottles in our time, and they had their padkos of kajurs and dates, and they left. Jibreel alayhi salam was the guide. And he is leading them, and they're walking, and they're moving, and they're traveling. And in our current day context, if you want to explain it, as they are passing lush land, you know, greenery, seeing there's people there, seeing there's some good environment, the heart, remember they were human beings, in the heart of a father. So as Ibrahim alayhi salam was passing these areas where it looked like a conducive, good place, in his heart he wished that, you know what, perhaps this is the place we'll be ordered, we'll be commanded to stop. And he hoped and he watched. And Jibreel continued to move past it. And as they moved past it, they came to barren lands, deserted lands. And he had the hope in his heart again. This must not be the place we stop. This is a human nature, human feelings. We do not deny it. But it all becomes subservient to the command of Allah when that command finally comes. So many a times has happened as he came through what we'll say in our day times, bursting cities, nice shops, nice supermarkets, people are there, transport routes, convenient. And we'll wish to leave our family in such a place. And then now comes those areas, we'll say the bush, the gums, where people don't want to be in. And I don't want to leave my family here. And this happened over several times. Until and finally, they had reached the land of what we know today as Makkah Mukarramah. But that time, it was barren. It was a desert. No civilization in sight. No animals. No water. Nothing. And Jibreel alayhi salam said, stop. This is where you will leave your family. Now the migration, part of the test was, one is a father thinks to himself. That's why there's so many angles for us to ponder. And the more we look at Quran, the more we look at Ahadith, the more Allah shows us the power of Allah. One is a father knows I'm in a land with nothing. But being a father, being the man who is responsible for the family, I will try and make a plan. I will try and make a plan. I'll go here, I'll go there, I'll see what I can do. As long as I am there, I will try and provide for my family to the best of my ability. I know they're within my sight, within my care. I will try what I can do. And this was a lesson for you and I as men, as fathers, that don't ever think you are providing. Don't ever think. Sometimes we have that thought in our mind, what will happen if I pass away? What will happen if I become sick or paralyzed and I lose my job? Who will provide for my wife? Who will provide for my children? What a lesson. What a lesson, beloved listeners. What a lesson. And if you only just think of this lesson, that as fathers, it's natural that thought comes in our mind. What will happen when I'm not here? I want this trust fund. I want this investment for my children, for my wife. Yes, we'll do whatever we can. But realize that Allah is the one that's providing. Not you, not I. It is Allah. Allah is just utilizing me as a means to provide for my family. If I am not here, if something happens to me, my trust is still in Allah. Allah will provide via other means. Allah will provide via someone else, via something else. Just like how Allah used me to provide, Allah will use someone else to provide. So this is a very important lesson here. That we must never ever feel that I am doing, that I am the one that's providing the sustenance, the food, the risk for my family. But rather it is only Allah that is doing, and I am just being used by Allah to provide for my family. It's a very hard one, but when our iman gets stronger and stronger, inshallah, the realization will enter our hearts that, oh Allah, I am nothing. I have this fear, this worry of my children being left behind, of my wife being left behind. But did I follow the ahadith? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, teach them Suratul Waqiyah and let them read it every night. Poverty will never enter that house. Do I have yaqeen behind this here? Do I have yaqeen? Did I teach them? Did I instruct them? Did I make this habit in their life? Tell them, instruct them with a 5 times daily salah, with abundance of istighfar daily, all avenues and means of abundant risk. Or did I place their trust in me? I am working, I am earning. You want this, ask me. No, ask Allah. So what a hidden message, what a subtle message that Ibrahim alayhi salam, for us this was there, for us, you and I. Ibrahim alayhi salam, one is he could have been left with his family at this place of migration. But Allah told him, no, you will leave them there. That worry, that natural love, concern of a father, of a husband. It was a lesson for us that don't think we are providing. It is Allah that is providing. So Ibrahim alayhi salam left them there. And he started to move away. And Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha, being a wife, seeing her husband walk away, said, oh Ibrahim, where are you going? Where are you going? And he kept quiet and he kept on moving. Second time, where are you going? Where are you going? You are leaving us here. And the third time again, Hajar radiallahu anha asked him, did Allah command you? Did Allah command you? And Ibrahim alayhi salam nodded in the affirmative that yes, Allah commanded me. And look at the iman of the wife of the Nabi, the iman of Hajar radiallahu anha. If Allah has commanded you, then Allah will never forsake us. Allah will never destroy us. You carry on. You carry on. Allah will never leave us. This is the iman of the wife. And if the iman of the wife is made, then the iman of the children are made. If the tarbiyat of the wife is made, then the tarbiyat of the children are made. Right? So the lessons of Ibrahim alayhi salam, so many. That is why we're saying the stories, I keep on repeating it. The stories of the Anbiya alayhi salam were current day lessons for us to learn. That how many a wife will hear of marriages breaking off today. Why? Because now the husband lost the job. Now we are struggling, we're going to difficult times. The father-in-law told the husband, I'm taking my daughter away. You're not managing anymore. Or something happened. But when the father, when the husband, the wife, the iman, they focus on Allah, then it is understood and realized every condition only comes from Allah. Only from Allah. No one else it comes from. Only from Allah Ta'ala. And as such, Allah gave us good times. Allah will bring back the good times. Now it's a test for us to see whether we will abandon each other, to see whether we will abandon Allah, or whether we will realize Allah has favored me all this time with ease. Now Allah wants a small test before me. So Hajar radiallahu anha, with the small son, Ismail alayhi salam, she was left there with a water bottle and some kajur, bare minimum provisions left, in the middle of nowhere. Sometimes you go to the beach or you go to the ocean, or you go there, you're on a ship. Just imagine, you're in the middle of nothing. No one's around you, just sand. And this was the condition, no shelter, nothing. How Hajar radiallahu anha was left. Ibrahim alayhi salam moved away. And as he moved away and as he came away, where he could not see his family anymore, that heart, that pain, that love. That's why that father's du'as are accepted for their child. That mother's du'a is accepted because they're only making that du'a out of concern and love. No ulterior motives. Sometimes a son makes a du'a for his parents with ulterior motives. That I don't want my father to die because I want him to still carry on in the business. I don't want my mother to go away or die. Why? Because who's going to see to my food? Who's going to see to my needs? There can be ulterior motives in the sons. But in the father, in the mother, there's never ulterior motives. There's only love and concern. Ibrahim alayhi salam made the dua, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ. Said, oh my Rabb, I have left my child, I have left my family in a barren place. There's no vegetation, there's nothing there. I have left them here in this noble land. رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِّنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. Ibrahim alayhi salam, first dua, the first dua he made. Oh my Rabb, make them from those that establish salah. Establish your remembrance, establish your ibadat. First dua. Then, oh Allah, make it such that the hearts of the people incline towards them. That the people come towards them with help. The people come towards them with love. That they become beloved. And then, warzuqhum. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam brought it. Oh Allah, you provide them with fruits. Provide them with food. So that they become grateful to you. But first thing was salah. Then for them to become beloved to the people. And then, oh Allah, you provide them. What a dua. What a dua. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ مَا نُخْفِي وَمَا نُعْلِنْ وَمَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, indeed, O Allah, definitely you know what we conceal and what we disclose. You know what's hidden, what's apparent. And nothing in the heavens or the earth is hidden from you. Only you. Only you, O Allah. Only that there. So can we imagine that moment, leaving them in a completely barren land, gone, out of sight. But where was the trust of Ibrahim alayhi salam? In Allah. Dua. Dua we learn from Ibrahim alayhi salam, the various du'as Ibrahim alayhi salam made. And we'll come across many, many more as time goes, inshallah. But this dua that Ibrahim alayhi salam made was the factor that started everything. Dua upon Allah. Not thinking who I can phone, who I can contact. My family is there. Please go see how you can help them. But I got the best contact. And that contact is Allah. Who can come close to Allah Ta'ala? No one. So Ibrahim alayhi salam made this dua. And they were left there. Ibrahim alayhi salam continued his journey. And he went. And in this land remained his wife and his small baby infant son. That is Ismail alayhi salam. Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha, drinking whatever water she had, and then having that kajur, the dates, eating that there. Via her intaking this, the milk was produced, and Ismail alayhi salam drank the milk. Eventually, the water ran out. The kajur ran out, the dates ran out. And without her having anything in her system, the milk was not produced. And Ismail alayhi salam didn't have anything to drink anymore. Again, the concern of a parent for their child. And as children, we have to understand this here. That what love a parent has for their kids. Hajar radiallahu anha, not concerned of herself, but concerned of my child, my son. What is he going to drink? He's a small baby. What's going to happen to him? And this is where we find the incident of Safa and Marwa, the Sa'i we know, came about and was established. Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha, she got up, her son laying there on the ground, crying. Picture the scene, imagine the scene. Screaming. Imagine sometimes we have our children, they are crying non-stop and we don't know what to do for them. We give them the lollipop, we give them this, we give them that, we try to walk with them, try to make them laugh. We don't know why. But here the mother knows the child is crying because of hunger. Doesn't have anything. And she knows she's helpless. But turning to Allah in her heart, knowing Allah is the only one. At the same time, doing whatever she can do within her human capability. That we place our trust in Allah always from the start to end. Allah has also given us a certain ability as a human being. We go to and open our shop and we place our trust in Allah. Oh Allah, you will provide. We don't sit at home with our shop locked up, closed and say, Allah, no, you will provide, don't worry. We understand we have to a certain ability within ourselves that needs to be done. So whilst we open that shop, now one is a person can think, you know what, my shop is open, my shop is providing me with the risk. My shop is providing me with customers. Now to tell yourself, your shop is not providing you. Yes, you did what you needed to do by opening the shop. But only Allah is bringing that customer. What's stopping that customer going to the supermarket next door, going to the hardware store down the road? Nothing. Only Allah had guided them to you. So Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha teaching us, that one is she could have sat and made dua, oh Allah, please provide. But she got up, making harkat, making effort. She saw two hillocks. She said, let me try and run up here. Perhaps I'll see someone in the distance and I can signal them to come. They'll have food, they'll have something for us. She went on one side. And human nature is such that when you go to one end, your mind races, perhaps they're on the other end. So she went on top of the hill. And her mind comes, maybe there's someone on the other hill. And she comes down and she runs between these two hills at a spot. And why does she run there? Because at that spot, she could not see Ismail alayhi salam. And this is where we'll say the green lights in today's time for the Sa'i. Between the green lights where we run. Copying the action of Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha. So she runs here because she cannot see Ismail alayhi salam. Until she comes a little bit more up and she can seize him and she stops running. And she moves slowly in a good pace to the top of that hill. Safa Marwa, what we know them as, Safa and Marwa. And she goes to that hill and again she looks. And again that human nature kicks in, perhaps on the other hill. And this repeats 7 times. Allah loved this action so much that look at my banda, how she is concerned for her child, how love she has. And she is making whatever effort within her capability, within the confines of Sharia, but trusting in me still. And this is where we see the miracle of the well of Zamzam comes about. And inshallah, we will continue from here next week. Our time has lapsed, and we make dua to Allah that Allah makes it an effort that is accepted by Him. And the lessons that we have learned, Allah gives the quality to everything. Allah gives the quality to the fire. Allah gives the quality to that water. Put our trust in Allah and Allah alone. Allah will show us miracles in our life. Allah will show us more than we could ever imagine. Trust in Allah. Allah will show you the great plan of Allah, what Allah has for you. And never think that I am doing. Realize that only Allah does. Allah is utilizing me. May Allah Ta'ala accept us all. May Allah Ta'ala grant us His love. And may Allah Ta'ala grant us His close proximity. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.